Okay, great. So we left off yesterday, Gemara and Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, in the course of dealing with a difficult memra, probably. Maybe it's a brisa from Tanam. It sounds like just a memra of the Amoram that Rav Kahana was reciting in Rav Huna Shir. The two cases, the Ka'ar Shemalch Ba'Basar, and the sak, the chtzenon shechasacha besaken, and the difference that this memra is drawing, that the first case is aser, second case is mutter. First case is aser to eat that hot piece of food, salmon, meat, whatever, that was placed into the salting pan, but it's mutter to eat the radish together with a milchik sauce, even though the radish had already been cut with a fleshik knife. So why the difference? Abaye said fundamentally it's Isura Bala versus Heter Bala, and fundamentally we're more makel when the initial Bliya was Mutter. And Rabbi said that's not relevant here. But what is relevant is since the initial Bliya was Mutter, practically speaking, I can taste test before I dip it into the milk sauce. So I'll know whether it's Fleshik, tastes Fleshik, or it doesn't taste Fleshik. While the food, that hot food that went into the salting pan, I have no way of tasting, no way of knowing. So mi safek, I have to consider it usher because I cannot directly experiment. But I could directly experiment. Even if it's a safek trefa flavor, I cannot have a Jewish taste tester. But I could have a kefela, I could have a non-Jewish baker be the taste tester. And the Gemara said, you're right, you could have had the non-Jewish baker, but you're talking about a situation where there happens not to be a kefela around. And that was the end of the Gemara and Kuf Yud Aleph, up until the two dots. Kikamina delaka kfela. Rabbi said, you're right. You have to say an ukimta pshat, a double ukimta. Ukimta number one, we already said that when you say mutter la'achlu bakutach, only means mutter if you tasted it and it doesn't taste fleshik. And then when we say the first case, the kar shomach al-bas is asr la'achlu barosayach, it really could be mutter if you would have the non-Jewish baker taste test it. But if there is no non-Jewish baker, then you have to be machmir misa. Which, of course, raised the question we already got thinking about, well, as we spoke about the yesterday and the Bashir, and we mentioned earlier this morning, we were starting Seder, what do you mean? What do you mean, like a kefela? So let's take a look at the sugya of kefela. So as you saw during Seder, it begins with the Mishnah, with which we already began this Amud earlier, this Mishnah Tzadivav Amabay is one of the central Mishnayos in all of Shas, and certainly in Chulin, in terms of the world of Tam Ke'ikar. And this Mishnah Tzadivav Amabay is the Gemara that follows it, all the way until Daf Kuf. If we were learning Kashrus topics in the previous part, Gid HaNasha, this is the central Gemara in the world of Tam Ke'ikar and Tarovis. So let's take a look. Again, the Mishnah introduces us, the beginning of the Mishnah introduces one of the places where the Mishnah speak of the idea of Benosin Tam, the Yerach Shen is Bashabal Ge'anosha. You didn't trade, you have the back half of the animal, the hindquarters of the animal. You neglected to trade out the Ge'anosha. Perhaps you removed the Chelev, but not the Ge'anosha. So, and then you cooked it whole with the Ge'anosha still inside. So the Mishnah says you got to be concerned about the flavor of the Gid HaNasha spreading throughout the meat. So if it did spread, if the Gid HaNasha did give its flavor to the meat, so then it's you're not allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to eat it. Reizu Asura. And the Mishnah had gone on to actually explain that you're Mishair Kibasar Belefes. How are you? You need to measure, you need to calculate whether or not there was an Insinus Tam, and you're going to do that by thinking about meat and vegetables. Imagine as though the volume of Gid HaNasha was a piece of meat and the volume of the surrounding meat was vegetables. Would the vegetables taste like meat or not? So that sounds like we're doing this arithmetically, mathematically. That sounds like Benos and Tam is a question of assessing the numbers. Now, the Gemara opens in Sarivav, maybe we'll get back to this, by talking about really the Mishnah Kuvches, a Mishnah of Tipas Chalav, the Mishnah, our Mishnah in Kol HaBasar, had spoken about, you know, how far would the flavor spread? Remember that? Right? The drop of milk falls on the meat. Does it spread just through the one piece of meat? Does it spread throughout the entire pot? The Gemara here on Tzadi Zavam Beis points out, sometimes even with heat, it might spread even less. Let's just take a peek. Then we're going to get to Tzadi Zayin. But at least to take a peek at the first line of the Gemara and file this away for later. Amar is very important. You sowed. Amar Shmuel lo shanu el shenis bashelba. Shmuel says that when we say that the entire yerech, the entire piece of meat is aser, if the flavor, if you cooked it with the ganasha, the flavor spread, the whole piece of meat, the implication of the Mishnah is that the flavor of the ganasha could, if it's not too diluted, will spread throughout the entire piece of meat. That's only if it's nisbashel, if it was cooked. That's what the Mishnah said, nisbashel, having a pot with liquid and we cook it. So Shmuel says, yes, when you cook it, when you have bishul, so then the flavor spreads evenly throughout. That was the Mishnah on Kuvches, Tipas Chalb, and that's the Mishnah here at Tzadivav. Yerchen is bashel beginash. But you should know, nitzlaba, let's say you grilled it. You had a madura, right? You had a madura or you had a grill and you took this hindquarters of this flank of the animal, you didn't cook it in a pot, you grilled it over open heat, dry heat without liquid, so then kolefi ocha shemagia legid. So then Shmuel says that if you have dry heat, then the flavor doesn't spread so far. It doesn't spread throughout the whole piece of meat. That's bishul, spreads it evenly throughout the whole piece of meat. But if it's tzli, if it's dry, it's only going to spread to the kedei klipa, just to the first layer. It's not going to spread. So the Gemara gets into more details. The flavor spreads throughout the whole piece of meat, either if it's cooking, then you have the liquid medium of the water that's in, or if the meat itself is fatty. That's the Gemara goes on to say. The very top line, tzari zayin amarav. Shani chelev de mifa'apeya. If you didn't just remove the ganasha, but you even neglected to remove the chalav, the treif of fats in the hindquarters of the animal, that would spread throughout because the chalav is fatty. So you have to, in order to, for the question of how far the flavor spreads, it needs to be, in order for the flavor to spread even with heat throughout the whole food, you need some medium, some liquid medium. Either it's cooking in liquid or the thing itself is fatty. There's water, there's fat. Okay. Gemara goes on to have some more discussion about that. That's why we differentiate between shamein and kachosh. If it's fatty, it's fatty item, then the flavor will spread further. If it's a drier item, the flavor will spread less. Okay. File that away. But from that discussion, the Gemara raises the question of kefel. So let's pick up with Rava. Because now the Gemara shifts here in the middle of Tzai Zayim and Aleph from the question of how far does the flavor spread throughout the whole chaticha, or just to the first klipa, just to the first peel, the first layer? The word now switches to how do you know how much, right? From how far does the flavor spread to how much flavor is there? Is the flavor strong enough that it's going to create an iser? Is it beno sein tam or is it not beno sein tam? And here we go in the middle of Tzai Zayim now. Amar Rava says, because one of the previous I had mentioned that they asked Rabbi Yochanan a shaila with the piece of meat and was it treif or not, and he said lita make kefela arma'a. You see that Rabbi Yochanan said, well, give it, let a kefela arma'a, let a non-Jewish baker taste it, and he'll tell us does it have a taste of treifus or not. And now Rava comments. Amar Rava. Rava lived a few generations after Rabbi Yochanan. Rava was in the middle of the period of Amaram. I used to have a kasha. This hadisanya kadeir shabisha babasa loyivasha bachalav. Vimbisha banosa in tam. You have the pot that you had previously used for fleshiks. Don't cook milchiks in it. And if you did, if you made eggs and cheese in a fleshik pan, what's the din? Banosa in tam. It's going to be treif if there's enough fleshiks in the pan to give fleshik taste into the milchik food you just made. And truma oivash bachulin. If you have, that's again, as in classic Tanaim style, when we say the sentence a second time, we cut off the beginning. It really should be kedera shebishabat truma. And if you have a pot or a pan in which you cooked or fried truma, don't now use it for chulin, for non-truma, because non-kohanim can only eat chulin but not truma. And if the chulin is going to get a flavor of truma, it'll be aser for zarim, aser for non-kohanim. Then, Bishel, if you did cook chulin in the truma pan, in the truma pot, but no Saint Tom. So can Yisrael, can a Levi now eat it or not? Well, it depends if it has the flavor of truma. This should sound familiar because this appeared. The same Amora quoted the same Tosefta in our Gemara, Kufi Dafim Alf, right? The same Rava. Right, you're turning back and forth. You see. Right, Rav Papa in Kufi Alf said, Rebbe, didn't you tell us? Right? The Amris Lan, right? You told us. Right, here it is. A Kufi Alf, we're quoting, Rav Papa's quoting the Shir that Rav had given, which is directly recorded here in Sadi Zayin. Rava says, I used to be bothered by this brisa. What was he bothered by? Bishlama. Here we are back on Sayzayim and Aleph. First white line, Bishlama Truma Tam La Kohen. I understand who's doing the tasting. You have a Jewish, a Kohen. A Kohen is allowed to eat Truma. A Kohen is allowed to eat Truma and Chulin. A Zar, a non-Kohen, can only eat Chulin but not Truma. So if you have the Chulin that was cooked in the Truma pot, we don't know whether or not it has a flavor of Truma, so let a Kohen taste it. A Kohen Tar can eat it either way, and he'll tell the Yisrael, oh, either it does have Truma taste or it doesn't have Truma taste. But who? So Bishlam a Truma Tam La Kohen. If you have a Truma, so the Kohen will taste it. But Basa B'chal Man Tam Le, the first case in the Tosefta, who's going to taste it to see whether the Milchix has a Fleshika flavor? If a Taka does, it's treif. You can't even have one bite. And Rava says, I used to, when I first learned this Tosefta, I was very bothered. What do you mean, Beno Saint Tom? Then he said, Hashtadam Rabbi Yochanan Samchina Kfeil Arma. But now that I heard that generations earlier, Rabbi Yochanan and Eretz Yisrael had given a psak that you're allowed to rely on a non-Jewish taster, let the non-Jewish baker, let the Kfeila Arma, the Nachtom Arami, he will taste it. You can rely on him. So Hachanami. There's your answer. That's what the Tosefta means as well. In Bisha Benos and Tam means ask the non-Jewish baker to taste this salami, this eggs and cheese and say, does it taste like salami or not? Ah, that's what Rava said. And now the Gemara says, Rava also said this in a different case. Either did Amar Rava, because Rava said, or just Amar Rava. Generalized. And Rava quoted this in a more general universal context. He was misakim the whole sugya. Rava summarized the whole sugya. Here we go. Amar Rava, Amor Rabbanan B'tayma. The rabbis, Amor is Aramaic for Amru. In general, when you have that vav in between the second and third letters of the Shoresh in Aramaic, that's equivalent, Amor is the equivalent of Amru. Avod is the equivalent of Avdu or Asu. Okay, so Amor is Amru. Amor is Aramaic. Amor Rabbanan, the rabbi said, Amru Chachamim, B'tayma. Sometimes the Chachamim say, you follow the taste. Rashi says, B'kama B'komos, Shoshanina B'noh Saint Tam. You have many places in Mishnah. We saw several of them. And we saw the Mishnah in Tzadi Vav. We saw the Mishnah in Kuvchas. We've seen several Toseftas and Trumas. But no Saint Tom. The Amor Rabban and the Kfela. And the rabbis also told us, you follow Kfela. Where the rabbis say that? So Rashi says, Kida Amor Rabbi Yochanan. It's not, we don't have a direct Mishnah or Brisa anywhere, but that's how Rabbi Yochanan understood it. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said. And turn the page, Sai Zayim Beis, the Amor Rabban and B'Shishim. And the Chachamim also tell us, Shishim. Where they say that? So the top Rashi in Sayyidina Bey says, Beperek Basna Mesechet Avodah Zarah. The last parak of Avodah Zarah. Yeshiva is learning Avodah Zarah and Bekiyas. In part because there's so much interplay between Avodah Zarah and Chulin. Particularly in the world of Kashrus and particularly in the world of Tam Kek. So he said, the Gemara, the end of the, in the last parak of Avodah Zarah, a couple of blots, for the end of the Masechta, Paskina and Hilchasa Bechal Yisurin Shebetorah Bein Bechal Bein Beshar Yisurin Beshishim. Then where it comes to the conclusion that the ratio of Bittel whether it's milk and meat or meat and milk or generally an usser food in a mutter food, the rule of thumb is shishim. There are a handful of exceptions. By truma, by arla, sometimes we want more, we want a ratio 1 to 100, 1 to 200, but the vast majority of the time for basar b'chalav and for most other trefa foods, the rule is shishim. So Rava says, look, as I survey the halachic literature up to my time, Rava says, as I look through the Tanaim and the early Amoraim, I find three different descriptions of how you solve a taruvah's problem. Something may have given flavor to something else. Is it usher? Is it mutter? How do you decide whether it gave sufficient flavor? So sometimes we say, taste it. Sometimes we say, have a non-Jew taste it, a non-Jewish baker. And sometimes we say, go by the numbers. And the truth is, by the way, Rashi referenced the Gemara in Avodah Zarah for Shishim. It's already sort of our Mishnah, the Mishnah here at Tzadi Vav Beis. Because the Mishnah said, Kate said, Mishar Nosa Kibbaster Belefes. How do you calculate? You calculate, you imagine it was meat and vegetables. So that means no one's actually tasting it. We're doing a numerical assessment. So the Rashi doesn't mention the Mishnah because the Mishnah didn't say specifically the number 60. But the, in terms of this third approach of just calculating numbers, the Mishnah in Saivav is already indicating, Tanava already telling us there's a way to do this just by doing the numbers, comparing the amount of this and the amount of that. And the Amoraim in Avodah Zarah fill in that number. If you work out, break out Kibasa Belef, as you experiment, you'll discover that 1 to 60 is a good enough ratio. If there's 60 times as much heter as Isser, you can feel safe that it would not be no same time. So Rava was pointing out, and he's asking a ka, he's summarizing, but as you see from the next line of the Gemara, he's also a little bothered. There seem to be too many different answers to the question. Sometimes the Chum tell us the answer is taste it yourself. Sometimes the Chum tell us the answer is have a nachri taste it. And sometimes the Chum say, just, you know, do the volumetrics. Just measure how much iser and how much heter. And b'shishim. Yeah, so Rav is really bothered. Dot and Moshe had a question? Ah, yeah, so Moshe wants to know, good. So very good. So Moshe's asking, is this a hierarchy? And as you see from the very next line of the Gemara, Rav is really bothered. He's not just giving a summary or a survey. He's really, without saying it, he's really asking Akasha, which one is it? How do you figure out, are you supposed to do Taima? Are you supposed to do Kefela? Are you supposed to use Shishim? And essentially, as Moshe said, the Gemara is giving a hierarchy. Because the Gemara, Rava goes on to say, Hilkach, therefore meaning, since we say, sometimes Chacham tell us Shishim, sometimes Chacham tell us Kefela, sometimes Chacham tell us Taima. So how do you work that out? Hilkach, min b'she'eno mino, if it's two different minim, which in other Gemaras may mean other things, but here means two different flavors. That's what Rashi says. Sha'adam yachol havchin taimo. A person can distinguish between the flavors. Though it's not meat and meat or apples and apples, but it's a meat and apples. Or it's gid hanasha and meat. Apparently gidim have a different tam than the meat does. Right? Stands to reason. Right? So, or milk and meat. Right? Clearly different flavors. So if it's something where a person can distinguish between the flavor of the iser and flavor of the heter, so if it's shneim shel heter, if they're both mutter, sheyachol ben bris l'ta'amo, that a member of the bris, ben bris is another way of saying a Jew. A Jew can taste it, he may be a specific type of Jew like a Kohen, but some Jew or another, there are at least some Jews, some members of the bris who are able to taste it, like Truma v'chulin. So if it's min b'shein omino, we can make this sort of like a flow chart here. And you branch out min b'shein omino versus min b'mino. That's the first distinction. So if it's min b'shein omino, we have two different flavors. So then we advance to question number two. Well then, the hetera The question is that flavor mutter or us? Are there Jews who are allowed to taste both flavors? If yes, then betaima, then let a Jew taste it. De'isura, if one of those flavors is treif, or the combination of those flavors would be treif, like basar and challah, then you need kefela. And then, if it's not min b'shamin at all, if it's min b'mino, if they're the same flavor, Rashi says it doesn't matter whether it's hetera or isura. If, let's say, you have treifa apples into kosher apples, the truma and chulin, let's say both are the same fruit or vegetable. I have a pan that I had baked truma apples in, and now I'm baking chulin apples. So it's very nice that it's hetera. A kohen could eat it, but what would it help? What will it taste like? Well, it'll taste like apples. It doesn't help me. Does it taste like the truma apples, or does it not taste like the truma apples? I have no way of knowing. Apples are apples. It's apples to apples. There you go. See, if it's apples to oranges, so then I could say, oh, do I taste of the flavor of the apples and the oranges or not? But if it's apples and apples, if it's min bimino, what's it going to help for someone to taste it? Right? Or if it's trefa meat and kosher meat, I'm going to have the nachri taste it. What's he going to tell me? It tastes like meat. Shkoyach. That doesn't solve anything. So then, min b'sheinu mino. So then, min b'mino. Delekala Gemara says delekala mekamataima. You cannot literally stand. Right? I told you to stand in Hebrew's lakum, and Aramaic is lemekam. That added mem, the lamed mem. Delekala mekamataima. You cannot notice the flavor. There's nothing to notice. Or inami min b'sheinu diyisura beleka kefela. Or let's say it is two different flavors, but it's two different usser. One of those flavors is usser. So the solution would be kefela, but leka kefela. We don't have a kefela handy. There's no kefela around to ask. I don't have my non-Jewish baker. So then b'shishim. So then I use shishim. Oh. So there you go. So as Moshe said, it is essentially a hierarchy. Because what emerges is, we really would rather to taste test. Right? That's really what you want to do. What you want to do is taste test. But no, St. Thomas, the Tanam said. Tanam said the Mishnah Sarevav. Tanam said the Mishnah Kuvches. And Tanam said elsewhere. Fundamentally, you want to taste test. If you cannot taste test, either for halachic reasons or for practical reasons, so then you go to Shishim. Right? And then within taste testing, how do you taste test? So ideally, we want to have a Jewish taste tester. But if you cannot have a Jewish taste tester because you run the risk of it being non-kosher, so then you have a non-Jewish taste tester. So that's why, as Moshe said, it is a hierarchy. Taima, as in a Jewish taste tester, or else kefela, a non-Jewish taste tester. And last resort is shishim. If you cannot taste test, so then you just have to fall back on bittul b'shishim. Just do the numbers, but we would advocate really to taste test, which by the way means, and this is the way most Rishonim understand it, this is the way we paskin, if you have a kefela, I don't care about the numbers. If it's taka one part of treif to 40 parts of kosher, I used echves, one teaspoon of butter and 40 teaspoons of meat, but the kefela tasting, he says, I don't taste any butter, it's kosher. In other words, shishim is a rule of thumb. Once you get to shishim, you're almost certain that normal flavors would be diluted, but you don't really always need shishim to dilute it. Oftentimes, 1 to 30, 1 to 40 is already enough that the flavor is gone. I just don't know. So if I have if I can do te'ima, if I can taste it, so that's good, that's great, that's ideal. And if not, I say, look, I don't, if 1 to 30, 1 to 40, 1 to 50, I'm not sure that it would be batel. So I assume it's not batel. But once I get to 1 to 60, unless you're dealing with like a spice or a flavor concentrate, I can rest assured 1 to 60 should be more than enough to dilute the flavor so much that it's batel, that's not tasteable. So again, ideally taima, and if not, then shishim. And here I'll leave you for now with a kasha that we're going to have to solve next time, which is, show of hands, how many guys saw the Shulchan Aruch already? Shulchan Aruch and Ramah, the opening sif
Filchos Tarumas. Gevaldik. Basa B'chalav runs from Pei Zayin to Tzadi Zayin, and then Taruvas runs from Tzadi Ches to Kuf Yud Aleph. The very first simon. Tzadi Ches, the very first sif. Tzadi Ches Sif Aleph. So Shulchan Aruch quoted this din. Yeah, you do Te'ima. We don't have Truma, practically speaking. We don't have Kohanim eating Truma. So the idea of Taima generally doesn't come up, but in terms of a Jewish taste tester, but a non-Jewish taste tester, we're going to have Kvela. No Kvela in Yevshishim. What was shocking about the Ramah? Who can tell me? Who can tell me? What was shocking about the Ramah? Yeah, David? David, what was shocking about the Ramah? Yeah. All of a sudden, you look in the Ramah, and it disappeared. As Moshe said, our Gemara is very clear that there's a hierarchy. We prefer Te'ima, either Sh'alidei Yisrael or Alidei Kefela Arma. And if not, then the fallback, the last resort, Shishim. And that's the way Shulchan Aruch presents it. Then he turns to Ramah and says, our minig is, we always do Shishim. What happened to the Gemara? What happened to the Gemara? The Gemara said that we prefer, the Mishnayos indicate, B'no Saint Tom. That's what we do. Kfeila Armor, B'yechanan, Rava. That's what we paskin. The Rava just says, no, we don't do Kfeila. It's a Tema Gedola. How's Rama again say he'd be more Machman than the Gemara? Our minigas, you always do Shishim? What's going on? That's a mystery. That's the mystery. You learn this whole Gemara, and then you say, wow. The Gemara is very clear. Rava pointed out, Stira, is it Te'ima or is it Shishim? And he said, the answer is Te'ima when possible, either Adei Yisrael or else Adei Kfeil Arma, and if not, then Shishim. So how did the Rama erase all of that? So Rabbi Kiv Eger points out that if you get involved, there's a machlokas harishonim, a very important machlokas harishonim. It begins with already Rashi and Tosus on Tzayzayim and Aleph, and it goes from there, and that machlokas gives us insight, says Rabbi Kiv Eger, into why, practically speaking, we are not comfortable using kefela. So Mishnah, we'll take a look at that next time. We'll see what the machlokas is. We'll try to understand some of the background of that machlokas, and we'll see, based on that, Rabbi Kiv Eger's explanation of the Ramah's minag, Ramah's chumrah, to never use kefela, and perhaps we'll even be able to figure out why it is that Sfaradim are not machmer in the way that Ashkenazim are, and will give us also, as well, more insight into our Gemara, Kuf Yud Aleph, Amid Beis, the Kika Amina Deleka Kfeila.